Oh, Barb, you want to hand me my book? I forgot it. Can't get by without notes and a Bible. Hello. I'm just going to have to turn my mouth sideways. Dobry denya. No. Drosvetia. No. Well, let's try Guten Tag. Bonjour. There you go. Okay, that's enough. Thank you. Since the scripture reading has already been done for me, thanks to Doug and Jeff, at least to some extent, I'll just pound it home. Jim says that I'm a bit too subtle, and I think by that he means that I don't make my point clearly enough. And while this is often true, I'll resort to a technique that comes from public speaking, where people are told, tell them what you're going to tell them, then do it, and then tell them what you told them. So, y'all might remember that my previous sermon was on restoration, but it highlighted, as one of the ways God uses us to repair the world, the passage of Ephesians 2:10. So the title of this sermon, that'll work, but the full title is Those Good Works Which God Hath Prepared in Advance for Us to Do. I'm going to read a little bit of Ephesians here. If I can find it. Here we are. I'll start with the beginning of that chapter, Ephesians 2, verse 1, and so forth. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. There's the first time. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, the question comes up, how do you do those good works? How do you know what to do? And the answer is very simple. I'm going to read a little bit from John chapter 14. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Remember that as I go on in the sermon. This Counselor will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I, this is Jesus speaking, have said unto you. And peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Again, this counselor will teach you all things. Remember that. Now we're going into the book of Esther. And no, I'm not going to do a complete sermon on the book of Esther. That's for another time. Hint, hint. But I'm going to read two chapters just to give you a background. King Xerxes honored Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai, the Jew, would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. In the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, they cast the pur, that is the lot, in the presence of Haman to select the day and month, and the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. When Haman said to Xerxes, "There is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom whose customs are different from those of all other people and who do not obey the king's laws. Is it not in the king's best interest to tolerate them? If he pleases the king, let the king decree to destroy them, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business." So here we've got Haman honked off about not being given his due honor and planning to destroy an entire people through it. Haman went to King Xerxes. "There is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in their provinces whose customs are different." So the king took his signet ring from his finger, gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. "Keep the money," the king said to Haman, "and do with those people as you please." Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of various people. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent by courier to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so they would be ready for that day. Does this by chance ring a bell with more recent history, like in the 1930s and 1940s, by chance? Okay. So, to skip ahead a little bit, Mordecai learned about this. He tore his clothes. He sat wailing in the king's gate. And Esther found out about it and asked why. So Mordecai sent back an answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you are alone of all the Jews to escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. I might point out that we've all come to a royal position, not just because I'm wearing a purple shirt, but because we are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And who knows what your particular good work will be yesterday, today, or tomorrow. So, dobry deny, that means good morning in Russian. There's a cashier at Aldi's whom I heard speaking English with a strong accent several years ago. And just guessing, I asked her whether I should greet her saying dobry deny, which is good morning in Bulgarian, or with dosvetya is good morning in Bulgarian, or dobry deny, which is good morning in Russian. And when I did the latter, she lit up like a Christmas tree, sharing how good it was to hear anything in her home language. I greeted her that way ever since then. She still becomes wreathed in smiles and sometimes even giggles when I do so. More on that later. She wondered out loud how I knew what her language was, asking to know if I'd spent time in Russia or Eastern Europe. She was amazed when I said no. I asked what had brought her here, and she said, boyfriend. I promised to explain more later. My history with Russian language is sketchy. In the 1990s, on a chiropractic research forum, which I moderate on the internet, I was contacted by a medical doctor in Moscow who wanted help translating an article he'd already published in a Russian medical journal so that he could get it published in English. He said that he liked the way I used the English language precisely. So for the next few months, he sent me his own best attempts at translation, and I asked questions and offered alternatives and explanations to help the two of us determine what he actually meant to say. I have good ears, but I really knew little Russian. Therefore, it was both a surprise and a real hoot for me to see in the premier British medical journal, Lancet, an article by Dr. Alexander Garpinich entitled The Cranioplantar System, with me credited as the translator. What do you want to bet that this credit was also added to a dossier the CIA has on me? Sharon spoke to me just before the service this morning saying, Noel, you've got this. Sharon, Holy Spirit got this.
You're right.
This language stuff, it's a God thing. I'll give you some examples of how it works for the kingdom. Not too long after that CAA dossier was formed, we assume. A quadriplegic friend of mine invited me to join him in an online chat room. Alvin Kaufman, the first time I encountered him was this kid whose family had just gotten electricity. No, I'm not that old. They are that limited. His mother was Cherokee. She's passed away. His dad was, I believe, Crow. Am I right, Doug? Okay, Doug doesn't remember either. This is also how I met Doug, through Alvin. But this kid started calling up different members of the Columbus Amateur Radio Club. And what apparently had happened was that when they got electricity, someone gave him a police scanner. And it happened to have our frequency in it. And he sat there and listened. Alvin is quadriplegic. He had, at that time, and at the time he passed away, the use of one thumb, his voice, and his breathing diaphragm. And that was it. The Ham Radio Club got involved, and before you knew it, Alvin had antennas sprouted on that old house of theirs, and someone brought him a radio and a power supply for the radio, and he started communicating with the world through this radio. Later on, somebody gave him a computer, and that's how he ended up in an online chat room. Serving the Lord anyway. He had a habit of going to different chat rooms and offering to help people practice their English. So online I got to meet Stella Kostova, whom Alvin had led to the Lord and helped to get plugged into Black Sea Baptist Church in Varna, Bulgaria. Later I got to meet in person Pastor Nick Malucci and his wife Katie, and their family of 10 boys when they all came to visit Alvin at Willow Crossing Health and Rehab here in Columbus to thank him for helping them grow that church on the Black Sea. Now, I already knew how to greet Stella and the Malucci family in Bulgarian because that greeting had been on the answering machine of a Bulgarian family next door to a ham radio operator friend of mine near my office many years ago. But how did I really know? How did I remember? Again, John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." It didn't stop there. Alvin's next project was for me to join him online working with an electrical engineer in Moscow who wanted to improve his English to the point that he could emigrate to Sweden for an engineering job there. That was a prerequisite. He had to speak English, and very well. It took several months, but eventually he shared with us that the Lord got him the job and that he was able to obtain an apartment in Sweden for his mother as well. In the meantime, I got to meet both online and in person an information technology specialist from Mexico City named Esmeralda Ibanez. She came to visit Alvin when she was in the U.S. on business. Her English was already quite good by then. I think she just wanted to spend more time with the guy who had led her to the Lord. It wasn't all roses. Alvin introduced me online to a lady in China who was struggling with the discrepancy between the tenets of her new faith and the government mandate that she abort her second pregnancy. At that time in China, you were allowed one kid, and that was it. And you didn't say no to the government. We spent several weeks encouraging her in the Lord as best we could under the circumstances, but we lost touch with her after she complied with that mandate. In 2015, a hired driver took Alvin to Columbus Regional Hospital for a respiratory evaluation. She didn't listen to Alvin's directions and instead grabbed the joystick on his power chair, launching him and the chair off the lift before lowering it. Alvin fell 4 feet, landing face down with that massive wheelchair on top of him. It wasn't that long before he succumbed to his injuries. But for someone with Duchenne's muscular dystrophy who is not to live past age 20, they said, he certainly served the Lord well into his death at age 51. It was my honor to be his power attorney, his fellow ham radio operator, and his friend for 36 of those years, and I think of him and all that God did through him every time I say Don't Hurry Dania in the Aldi grocery store. That brings me to a prayer request. Please pray to the Lord for an opening for Barb and me to share all these details with that cashier. So what are the things which God has prepared in advance for you to do? And how are you using them to encourage others? Again, Ephesians 2:10 says, unto good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And John 14:27 says, this counselor, this Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. And Mordecai says in Esther 4:13, was it not just for a time such as this that you are here? I'm sure you've heard of St. Peter and the Pearly Gates. I'm just as sure that I'll see Alvin again. Besides the depth of our shared faith having something to do with that, Alvin also shared his plan to bribe St. Peter to let him meet me at those gates when I show up there so he can hold them shut for a short minute before he lets me in. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Thank you. Now we have a song to sing, and I'm supposed to lead in it in case you're not all familiar. Can you start that over? And put it on the speakers if it'll go there.